You are not here by accident. You are here by design. And you are here to find courage in the face of fear, to replace isolation with connection, to push back that feeling of overwhelm, and to start feeling confident. And you know how you're going to do it? By listening to other people's stories. There's no better way to feed your soul and raise your vibration and shift your mindset than to hear the stories of those who have gone before you. I'm your host, Lori Lynn, also known as Her Royal Excitedness, and I invite you to rise and climb.
Welcome, Devon Brown, to the Rise and Climb podcast with Lori Lynn. I'm your host, and my guest today has once been referred to as what you would get if you combined MC Hammer with Tony Robbins. Most at home on stage, edutaining audiences?
Yes, that's exactly right.
So an educating entertainer. Devon Brown is someone that I met at an event and absolutely fell in love because he's high energy and adorable and fun. And I can definitely attest to the fact that, yes, if you combine MC Hammer and Tony Robbins, Devon Brown. So welcome to the show, Devon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely. Thanks for hopping on. So this podcast is essentially about taking the road less traveled. Mm-hmm. And you are someone who is really good at that. And I would love to just hear about, like, what was young Devon Brown, perceiving his future to be? What did you see as, like, okay, this is what I want to be when I grow up, and this is the path that I'm going to take? You know, take me back to, like, I don't know, maybe 8, 9, 10 years old.
8, 9, 10 years old, I had no earthly idea. To be honest, teenage Devon had a little bit of an entrepreneurial spirit. I remember when I was maybe about 14, turning 15, my grandmother sent me $50 for my birthday. And I took that $50 and I went and bought a book for $50. And the title of the book, it was like a send-away book where I had to mail in a coupon for it and pay the $50. And the title of the book was something like 50 Ways to Make Money from Home. And opened up the book, and one of the ways to make money from home was to make bracelets, something like that. I don't remember exactly. And so what happened was I got with another buddy of mine who's also entrepreneurially minded. He was 2 years older than me. And I said, dude, we're gonna be rich. We're gonna make these bracelets and we're gonna be rich. And he was like, hey, let's get our friends to make the bracelets, and then we'll pay our friends 50% of whatever the company pays us. And that was the idea. It never happened. We're just like, oh, it's a great idea. All right, see you tomorrow. And that was the end of the idea. But I paid for the book and we had the idea. That was like the first time the idea of not taking the road most traveled kind of popped into my head with regard to just kind of thinking outside the box and being an entrepreneur. So I was about 15. That wasn't fleshed out at all, but that was probably the first time it popped into my head.
Okay, so the seed was planted then.
Mm-hmm.
And then tell me about your journey since then.
Well, I did what I was supposed to do. I went to college and I got my college education. I actually finished college when I was 20 years old. I went to school to be a sports agent. I wanted to be like Jerry Maguire. And I majored in sport management and I graduated at the top of my class. And like the last 2 years of school, I had a cumulative like 3.8 or something like that. And I was student of the year for my major. And I did everything that I was supposed to do. And at the end of the year, my teachers, the NBA, the National Basketball Association, offers what's called it's like an externship program or something like that. I don't remember exactly what it's called, but it's this program that they have where they have something like 3,000 to 5,000 kids apply and they only take 50. And in order to apply, you have to be recommended from your teachers. And so because I was a student of the year in my sport management major, my teachers recommended me for this program. And you had to interview for 4 months. So they went from like 5,000 to 1,000 to 500 to 100 to 30 kids. And so I interviewed 4 or 5 times. And I kept making it to the next round, making it to the next round, making it to the next round. And I was about to go into the final round of interviews when the same buddy who I had tried to make bracelets with calls me up and was like, Devon, did you know that more millionaires have been created in real estate than any other area? And I was like, really? He's like, yeah, they're holding a real estate seminar. I was like, how much is it? He's like, it's $4,000. I was like, I got $4,000 on my credit card that they gave me when I was in college that they had no business giving me. Let me turn down this job with the MBA and go spend $4,000 on this real estate course. And he was like, okay. And so I did that. And I got to the last interview with the MBA. And I was like, yeah, I don't think I want to go hang out with you guys. Thanks. Bye. And I'm oversimplifying it. But in essence, that's what happened. And so we went to this real estate investing seminar. And it was like a 3-day thing. And then at the end of the seminar, I was a real estate investor for maybe 2 days. And then I quit because I had no clue what I was doing. And that was it. That was the end of it. I turned down the job with the, and then I didn't tell my mom for years. She just thought that I didn't make it to the interview. She didn't know that I had self-sabotaged. So that's what happened with regard to the NBA. And yeah.
Wow. Wow.
And to this day, I know nothing about real estate investing. So,
but I mean, that's a pretty hard turn. Like, I don't want to say right turn, but that was a major trajectory shift.
It was, but many entrepreneurially minded people who just want to do things outside of the traditional go to school, get a 9-to-5. And by the way, quick side note, I don't think that going to school and getting a 9-to-5 is necessarily a bad thing. Like for some people, do you, if that's like, if you love accounting and that makes you happy when you wake up in the morning and you go to a job with big benefits and you get to work on these really big numbers and all that crazy stuff and all these spreadsheets and stuff, then you know what? Do you? Not everybody is cut out to be an entrepreneur. Not everybody is cut out to be some kind of solopreneur type person. That's not for everybody. And if that's not you, high five. And I mean that in all sincerity. More power to you. Go work and be an accountant for FedEx or for, you know, Coca-Cola or whatever, and rock the snot out of that job. But for those of us who do have that seed of entrepreneurialism or inside of us, I don't know that so like on paper, it's a big turn, shift in a different direction. But internally, it's like, oh, I'm just kind of doing what I'm supposed to do. This seems more right. So just kind of, let me just go follow that. If that makes sense.
No, it does to me. Yeah. Right. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
It didn't to my parents, by the way. It did not to my parents. They're like, what the hell are you doing? But
Right. Yeah. You know, from the outside looking in, You look confident and attractive and successful and, I mean, you're on stage with, like, you know, big names like Russell Brunson and Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi, or is that how you say his last name?
Graziosi.
Yeah. And you were even the MC for their big launch with the Knowledge Business Blueprint. You know, you're like the MC for ClickFunnels, and you are... I mean, I don't know that I would say a household name, but
maybe. I would not. Not yet, at least.
Office name.
I'm a niche name, like in the industry. I'm name-tastic, but I wouldn't say my household name quite yet.
So, what was it that got you onto that trajectory?
It kind of happened by accident. I was selling cars in 2004. And I was a Taekwondo instructor as well. But I quit selling cars because it wasn't my calling. I was making good money at it. And I was at a point where I was like, you know what? Either I need to go and figure out what I really want to do, or I'm going to be stuck selling cars for the rest of my life. By the way, nothing wrong with selling cars. You can make good money. It's a good and honest and it's a fair professional. And it taught me a lot. And I'm grateful for the lessons, but it wasn't what I was put on this earth to do. And that's okay. So I left selling cars and I ended up trying to do my entrepreneur thing. And that 3 months later, I lost all my money. And I was stuck trying to find a job again. And I ended up going to work for this internet marketer guy named Matt. And I had been working, I ended up being his top phone sales guy. He had an organization where he taught people, like experts and authors, how to put their businesses online. And we had this class that we did where people would fly into Atlanta and we would do this class. And I was the guy who sold the class, like $3,000-$4,000 class. And I would be the one selling it on the phone and for him. And about 3 months into our relationship, he invited me out to LA because Mark Victor Hansen, co-author of Chicken Soup for the Soul, used to put on these big seminars with 700 people in a room. And we had gone out there to be one of the vendors, one of the booths outside the room, because that was our target market, the clients we were trying to attract in our business. And so I'm out there in LA, 3 months into my relationship with Matt, and this woman comes up to me and she says, "Excuse me, young man, where's Matt?" And I said, "I don't know. I think he's at lunch." She said, "Well, get him here right now. Mark Victor Hansen's about to call him on stage." I said, "Yes, ma'am." So I call, text, nothing. And she comes back 5 minutes later. This woman, by the way, is Mark Victor Hansen's assistant. She says, "Where is he?" And I said, "I don't know, lady." She said, "He needs to be here right now." I said, "I don't know what to tell you. I've called him and texted him 14 times. She says, "Mark Victor Hansen's about to call him on stage." I'm like, "I get that. I don't know what you want me to do." She says, "Do you know his elevator pitch?" I said, "Woman, what the hell is an elevator pitch?" She said, "Do you know what he's going to be speaking about at his breakout session tomorrow?" And I was like, "I don't know." And she was like, "Get on stage." And I was like, "Okay." And so I run in the room and there's 700 people in the audience. And I run in the room just as Mark Victor Hansen is saying, "Welcome to the stage, Matt." And they flash his picture up on the stage. Now I'm a light skinned black dude. And back then I was probably like 6'2", 140, 150 pounds. And my boss is a chubby white guy. We look nothing alike, like zero. And so I run in the room and they flash a picture of him on the screen. And I run up on the stage and Mark Victor Hansen goes to hand my boss the mic. And he looks at me, he's like, "Who the hell are you?" And that's the look on his face. And I grab the mic and I turn to the audience. And don't ask me what I said, but I spoke for all of 2 minutes and I got a standing ovation. The next day, my boss came back from lunch and a bunch of people had told him what happened. And the next morning he said, "Devon, we're at our breakout session for the audience. And he says, 'Devon, whatever you did yesterday, do it today when you introduce me on stage.'" I said, "Okay." I did it. We did really, really well. He said, "Devon, anytime we do an event, I'm going to give you the mic. You're going to MC it." And I was like, "Okay, whatever." And I ended up MCing a lot of events for the couple of years that we were working together. And on several of those events, I had the chance to bring to the stage guys who would eventually become really big, men and women, who would eventually become really, really big in the internet marketing space. One of those people being Russell Brunson, who now owns a company called ClickFunnels. And so in 2015, Russell and I are good buddies. He calls me up and he says, "Devon, what are you doing next week?" And I said, "I don't know, being awesome." And he says, "Do you still MC events?" And I'm like, "I don't know, I'd MC'd maybe like 3 or 4 events in the past 5 years. He says, "What's up?" He says, "I got 600 people coming to Vegas. I forgot to hire an MC. Do you still do it?" And I was like, "I don't know." He's like, "I'll pay for everything." I'm like, "Yeah, I'll do it." And I flew out there and I MC'd that event. And that was in 2015, the first time I had been on stage at ClickFunnels. That event grew from 600 people to 1,100 people the next year to 1,500 people the year after that to over 3,000 people the year after that to about 4,500 people most recently. And being on that stage, people have seen me on that stage and said, "Hey, Devon, will you do my event?" And now I do events all the time and I do them all over the world. And it all happened by accident. But sometimes what you're supposed to be doing just happens. And you know you're in flow because it's not hard, it's easy. And this is not from a place of ego, but I am in our industry, to the best of my knowledge, I'm the best event MC and the number one event MC in our industry. And I say that without full knowledge of everybody else, but I've done a little bit of homework looking for other MCs, especially in our world. And I don't know of any who do as many events as I do. But all of that has come with zero marketing. I've never asked for a single event. And sometimes it's overwhelming. And I say that with zero ego and zero attitude about my awesomeness. And I say it more from a place of essence, in that clearly I'm doing something that is bringing value to the world from an authentic place. And because I'm doing that, and because I decided to listen to that, and live into that, things are happening with ease. And so I would say to anybody listening, when you are doing what you are supposed to be doing and you are saying yes to that voice inside of you, and quick side note, and stop me if you want to, I don't mean to get on a...
No, I love this. This is great.
So in 2005, I was listening to some personal development thing, and somebody posed the question. Whatever guru I was listening to, I think, posed the question. I might get this a little bit wrong, but the essence of what I'm saying is true. It said, he says, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you $10 million a year. The catch is that you have to spend 60 hours a week doing something you love doing so much, you would absolutely do it for free. What would you do? Work-wise. And the first thing that popped up inside of me was some type of cross between MC Hammer and Tony Robbins. And that was the answer that came inside my heart. It was like, MC Hammer meets Tony Robbins. And I'm like, what? Hip hop dancer meets personal development guru. And my brain goes, so my heart goes, MC Hammer meets Tony Robbins. My brain goes, that's not a thing.
Wow.
And so my brain was like, yeah, Devon, that's not a thing. MC Hammer meets Tony Robbins is not a thing. Think of something else. But we fast forward all these years later, and to a degree, that's what I do. And if you told me MC Hammer meets Tony Robbins equals event MC, I would have told you that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. And yet, here it is, and that's reality. That's life for me right now. So
you are inviting people up on stage to dance with you and like do some crazy hip hop moves.
Right. And the story behind that is that, most people think of an event, a seminar event MC, as a seminar live event MC is the guy who introduces people on stage, which is cool. That's part of my role. But one time I was about to bring somebody on stage. And this is back when I was doing it with my boss, Matt, and I was still doing it for free and stuff. And we were doing events, and like our big events, we would do once a quarter. We would put between 250 and 500 people in a room. And one of the events, something happened with one of the speakers. I don't remember exactly what, but my boss says, or whoever was in charge of the event was like, Devon, you got 15 minutes to kill. I'm like, 15 minutes? They were like, I don't know. We got to fix X, Y, and Z, or we got to find the speaker. Whatever happened, don't ask me. I don't remember. But they were like, you got 15 minutes to kill. I was like, what do you want me to do? They were like, make something up. And I was like, okay. And so I get on stage, and the only thing that popped in my brain to do with the audience was I used to be a hip hop. I used to go clubbing. Like I used to be in a hip hop crew, and we used to go dancing and battle each other. And we used to dance and make up routines and stuff. Like between 1997 and 2007, I went clubbing an average of 5 nights a week. It's like 2,500 club nights over the course of 10 years. It's crazy. And we just dance. And I popped up on stage and I had 15 minutes to kill and I couldn't think of anything. And something inside of me said, dance hip hop with them. And I said, and my brain, this all happened in like a split second. My brain says, something inside me goes, my heart goes, dance hip hop with them. And my brain goes, no, that's not in the MC handbook. And then my heart goes, there's no freaking MC handbook, just do it. And I'm like, my brain is like, fine, I'll do it just because I can't think of anything else to do. And I got 15 minutes to kill. And so I end up teaching the audience this hip hop routine, and I'm watching the clock, and I'm watching for signs for other people as I'm teaching this hip hop routine, and they loved it. And I was like, excuse me? And so like after the event, like I would have these parents come up to me, like, Devon, I'm gonna show my kid the hip hop routine you taught me. They're gonna think it's cool. I'm like, excuse me, that's what? I was like, I'm thinking to myself, I was just killing time. And they were like, this is the greatest thing ever. And so I'm like, huh. And that response that I got from doing that initially worked its way into every time I was on stage and I had time to kill, I would teach hip hop and the audience loved it. And they came to realize that they loved it because it was authentic. How many people go to an internet marketing or a personal development seminar and think, oh, I'm going to learn a hip hop routine while I'm there? That's not a thing. That's not a thing, but it's a thing when I'm on stage because of the whole MC Hammer meets Tony Robbins thing. And so what it eventually grew into was I'm going to teach this hip hop routine and then I'm going to call people on stage and have them perform it. And I'm going to teach a lesson. I'm gonna call people who are specifically nervous to come do it, to get them to come on stage and do it. And then when they do it, even if they screw up, I'm going to give them a prize to teach them the life lesson of breaking outside of their comfort zone. And so that's where you get the whole MC Hammer meets Tony Robbins. On one hand, I'm teaching hip hop. On the second hand, I'm weaving some kind of life lesson into it. And that's my shtick. And it's, yeah, it makes me happy.
It's lovely and fun. And the reason that when I saw you the day after I met you, it was like, hey, do a little hip hop for me. And then a video of you to my youngest, who I introduced you to. I'm like, hey, I'm raising the little white girl version
of you. Exactly. It's exactly what you
did. You're like making faces at each other and doing kind of crazy dance moves.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah. Now, I think, was it Russell Brunson who said that that you were the bringer of energy? Like you weren't just introducing people, but you were like keeping the energy up,
right?
And it felt like alive and electric and fun, and I love that. And I love that that's what you bring, that's who you are and what you bring. And so I'm just excited to know you, and that you like you let your brain have a voice and then your heart like comes around and goes,
I had to learn to listen to my heart, because my heart isn't logical at all. And I don't think most of our hearts are logical, but our hearts are right. Yeah. Our hearts are right more than our brains are. And sometimes we have to tell our brains to shut up. To the point that you were just making about the whole bringer of energy thing. Like, I used to teach Taekwondo, and I used to go dancing. And so if I'm teaching Taekwondo, I've got to grab the attention, especially when I was teaching the little kids, the 4, 5, and 6-year-olds, their attention spans are like gnats. And so what I realized is, like, if their attention span on a scale of 1 to 10, if their energy on a scale of 1 to 10 is an 8, then mine needs to be a 9 or better, or they're not going to pay attention to me. And so, and it was just such a life lesson in being in front of an audience that ended up being so applicable in a way I would have never imagined, that teaching 5-year-olds would teach me how to be a decent MC. But the other thing is that how many times do people go to events and you're about to fall asleep and the MC gets on the stage and is like, next on the stage, a man who has 3 doctorates, who has sold $1 million, welcome Bob Smith. And you're like, all right, that's great, but I don't give a flip. I don't give a flip about Bob Smith. Number one, my happy ass is about to fall asleep. What the heck does Bob Smith's accolade, what do Bob Smith's accomplishments have to do with why I want to listen to him? And so eventually, just from being on stage a bunch, I learned, again, my heart was like, Devon, just throw some sexy on this. Throw some of your own flavor on this. I was like, all right, heart, bet. Let me just do it. And it worked. And so often we do things we do because of the feedback. We continue to do things because we get feedback, right? We do X, we get feedback from people that say that worked or that didn't work. And so we listen to that, and then we just kind of go from there.
So. I have to admit, like, when I saw your kind of persona on Facebook and you had one of your pictures said bringing sexy back, I was like, oh my gosh. It's like quirky, adorable, nerdy guy is wearing like bringing sexy back. And I'm like, you just rock it.
Thank you.
You just own it. And I love it. I love it. It's so much fun.
And I think to everybody listening, owning it is owning who and whatever you are, right? Like, what's sexy is authenticity. Like, I'm like, so for example, like, I'm not a country music buff. That's not my jam, right? I'm a 40-year-old black guy who grew up in Atlanta in the 90s, right? I'm hip hop. I'm Southern. I grew up in nightclubs where we would have these specific kinds of hip hop battles and listen to specific types of music. Country music is not my jam. But when I'm flipping through channels and I'm watching the Country Music Awards comes on and I'm watching some artist take whatever gift God or the universe or whoever has put inside them and share that authentic gift with the world, even though country music is not my jam, their essence, their authenticity is my jam. And so I have no choice but to love that and respect that and honor that. And so that is what's sexy, right? If this podcast is about taking the road less traveled, I would argue that the road less traveled is the road that your heart wants you to take, whatever that looks like. And it looks different for everybody, right? Maybe for you, the road less traveled I'm just trying to make up something random, being a blogger and traveling the world and living as a vagabond. Maybe that's your essence. And if that's your essence, rock it. Maybe the road less traveled for you is being the best barber or hairstylist ever in the history of barber or hairstylist, barbers or hairstylists. And if that's you, you rock that essence because you are going to be able to bring something to that industry and to that world that it so desperately needs, which is your core, which is your authentic awesome.
I was talking to someone recently. He decided to become the guardian to a teenage boy with severe autism. Mm-hmm. And from the time he got him, he went from not being able to go to the bathroom on his own to being able to go to the bathroom on his own. And he's advocating for this kid and really passionate and kept apologizing. And I'm like, I don't think we give ourselves permission to be passionate. And what I found myself saying was, what is in you is intended to come out of you. Like, that desire to help this kid is in you for a reason.
Correct.
Correct. As a divorced, you know, young, attractive man, probably could be doing a whole lot more than taking care of this teenage boy. That desire was so strong that it, you know, compelled him to say yes and become a foster parent. And then when the foster system was ready to, like, you know, release him, he was like, well, I'll just be his guardian. And it rocked me a little bit. And I think about them a lot. And it really resonates with what you're saying, with that the road less traveled thing. It's like the road less traveled is the one that your heart wants to take you on.
Right, exactly. That's
and other people are going, are you crazy?
Right.
Including your brain.
My heart said, Devon, the road less traveled for you is MC Hammer meets Tony Robbins. That's what my heart said. And I'm lucky that I fell into it on accident. And that when it started happening, I was willing to say yes to it. That's so sometimes things will happen and they just need you to say yes. So when my boss asked me to MC all of our events, it was, hey, I'm working for the company. I just want to be a contributing part of this company. And I love seminars. Sure. More than happy to. Didn't get paid anything for it. It was just part of the company. Okay, cool. Didn't think that's where I was going to go. Russell Brunson calls me up in 2015. Sure, doing a favor for a buddy. I like being on stage. Why the hell not? Wasn't going to be a thing. And then I started having people ask me, Devon, so you're a professional event MC? Hell no, I'm not a professional event MC. I want to be a speaker. I want to be a professional speaker. And why, Devon, what's wrong with being an event MC? I'm like, well, speakers are better than MCs. On this is the story I'm telling myself. And then somebody who was an MC, who's really good, he says to me, he says, let me ask you a question, Devon. He says, you like being on stage? I'm like, dude, I am the stage. I love being on stage. I love educating and entertaining people. And he's like, let me ask you a question. He says, how many speakers are there at your average event? And I was like, I don't know, maybe a dozen or so. He says, okay. He says, how many MCs are there? I was like, just one. Oh, okay. He said, over the course of an event, people are in and out of the room sometimes. Yes? I said, yeah. He said, does every person at the event get to see every speaker? I was like, no, usually not. And they're like, does every person at the event see the MC? And I'm like, absolutely. He says, why? So the MC is the person who is on stage at the very beginning, at the very end, and every single time in the middle. He says, so other than the person whose event it is, in the case of Russell Brunson, other than Russell Brunson, who gets the most time on stage? I'm like, the MC. I'm like, huh? He's like, what do you do with that time? I'm like, I introduce people. He's like, why? Why do you introduce, why is that just it? Why can you not also do these things? You have the stage time. Hell, you go to enough events where you know there's going to be stuff where you're gonna have time to kill. Why not take the fun and enter? Why not take the educational stuff that you want to be? I understand you don't just want to be a dancing monkey, but who's to say you can't also take the educational stuff and weave it into what you do when you're doing what I'm like, why did I think of that? So now I really embrace it. And it's a niche that But now, like you were saying at the beginning, like I get to do things like they flew me out to Arizona to do something with Dean Graziosi and Tony Robbins and to MC a webinar where they had close to like 200,000 people on this online training. And they called me up and they said, Devon, we want to fly you out to MC a webinar. And I said, that's not a thing. I was like, it's a webinar. That's not a thing. You don't have an MC for a webinar. And they said, we understand that's not a thing, Devon, but because it's you, we're going to make it a thing. And that's what happens when you actually follow what is inside you and you actually live your truth and live your purpose and live your essence, things that are not a thing. And that's one of the things that I love to say right now is that how many times in my life has my heart said X and my brain said, that's not a thing. And my heart was like, F you brain, it is a thing. I'm going to prove to you it's a thing. Trust me, just live into it and have a little bit of faith. So, yeah.
Oh, that was awesome. I don't even know how to go from there. I think, you know, I think we probably need to just like let people marinate and simmer and just, that's so good. It's so good. So I do have one more really important question to ask you. And like in all seriousness, really like dial down and like, you know, reach into that place in your heart that's like, okay, this is it. What is your favorite karaoke song?
It is a tie. That's a good question. That's a great question. It's actually a three-way tie.
Oh, it's a three-way tie? It's a
three-way tie. So
that's not a thing. Devon, that's not a thing.
It's totally a thing. It's actually a three-way tie between Vanilla Ice's Ice Ice Baby.
Okay.
Criss Cross's Jump.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And Rapper's Delight. Ooh. By the Sugar Hill Gang.
That's a long one.
It's a long one. That's why that one, the actual song is like 8 minutes long or some nonsense like that. I'm like, do y'all have the short version? Do you have the long version? I'm like, if they have the long version, I'm like, never mind. I'm not. If they have the short version, I'll do it. If they have the long version, but yeah, so those are usually the three go-to songs when I do karaoke.
Can you close us out with a little rap?
No.
No Rapper's Delight?
Nothing? No Rapper's Delight.
Nothing?
Nope, I got nothing. I got zero. It's funny, like all the fun stagey stuff. It's so funny, like when I'm on stage, I'm like, oh my gosh, you have so much energy. And then when I go off stage, I'm like, shh, quiet. And I so bring it down. It's funny. Yeah.
All right. Well, maybe I don't know if we have any copyright issues or something, but maybe
I was just saving you from copyright infringement.
Yeah.
You're welcome. That's really all this was.
But I was thinking maybe we could like plug in some like crisscross or something at the end so that, you know, fades into. You are a delight.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Oh my gosh. Just really what a joy. You're incredible. And
thank you
for sharing your MC Hammer Tony Robbins essence. It's really lovely.
Thank you.
For making all the things that your brain says are not a thing come true with your heart and your yeses and your energy and your fabulousness. And
well, thank you. And what I would challenge everybody listening to do is that if your heart wants to do something and your brain says, but that's not a thing, just listen to your heart. Your heart is infinitely more intelligent than your brain and infinitely more right. And sometimes your heart's just trying to tell you to walk this direction. Have a little bit of faith and the rest will unfold. I understand that you cannot see it now. And whether it's God or the universe or whoever you believe in, I understand that you cannot see this now, but if you just trust me and you walk in this direction, it'll unfold the way it's supposed to unfold. And there will be more and greater things in store for you than you could ever imagine. So that's what I would challenge all of you guys to do walking and living the road less traveled. Is the road less traveled is just to listen to what your heart wants you to do and have faith that it's where you're supposed to be.
All right, Devon, when people listen to this interview and they go, oh my gosh, I love him, where do they get more of you?
You can go to devonbrown.com. That's D-E-V-O-N, brown like the color, .com, devonbrown.com. And you can find me and hang out with me. And then on the site, you'll see access to my Twitter, or not my Twitter, my Instagram and my Facebook and all that stuff. And we'll go from there.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. Have a great rest of your night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. If you thought of someone while you're listening to this episode, would you send it to them? Just let them know you were thinking about them or that they came to mind and make that connection. If you would take a minute to rate and review my show, that would mean the world to me. And let me know about topics that you want us to cover in future episodes. Oh, and don't forget to subscribe. What are you waiting for? Go, hit the subscribe button right now. I'll see you next time. Mwah.